Welcome to Fire Shut Up in My Bones. Thank you for listening to our podcast. And there's something I want to talk about that will be of interest to you. But let's pray first. Lord, forgive me of my sins, Lord. Help this to be a help to others. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Turn to your Bibles to Psalms 119 and verse 165. It says there is a very common verse. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I'll read it again. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I would like to begin with this. I am falling more in love with the Bible every day. I love reading it. I love holding it. I love looking at it. I love touching it. I love smelling the pages of the Bible. And it's the most fascinating thing of mine. Bible reading, not only am I interested in the letter from God, the God of the universe, but it's my hobby. I read the Bible several times a day, and I can honestly say that I talk about the Bible with my wife, my father, my friend, Tom, almost every day, and with others every day. That's how fascinating we find the Word of God. Great peace have they which love thy law. Those that love God's Word, they prove it by, this is the first point, by obeying God's Word. If you love me, keep my commandments. You know, you don't really love the Word of God if you're not obeying the Word of God. The Bible also says, I didn't plan to mention this, but I know in the book of James, if you know that you're supposed to do the commands of God and you don't do it, that's a sin. A very convicting verse. Point number two, obedience is worded. Before I go there, I forgot the introduction. What does this verse mean? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Oftentimes, and I'm not trying to call anyone out, but oftentimes we hear preachers or fellow Christians, they use this verse to cover up the sin of insults. Now we have feelings. Where did our feelings come from? You know, everyone would like to say that we are wearing our feelings on our sleeve. And there are some cases when that is true. But where do we get our emotions from? Where do we get our feelings from? We get them from God. In the Bible, where you see God said it repented him that he made man because the man was so wicked. It's not saying that he changed, but it grieved the Lord. When Jesus wept, when God hears the cry, when God groans, things like that, we share those same exact emotions and feelings. Why is that? The Bible says in the book of Genesis, we're made in the image of God. So what I'm saying is we can get angered. God got angered. Israel provoked God. God can be provoked. We can get angered and we can get provoked to anger. So we must not use this verse as an excuse to go out and willingly offend people. Should we willingly offend God? No. How do you prevent offending God? Obey him. So you shouldn't say, you know what, brother so-and-so, you are fat. When are you going to do something about that weight, right? You're uncouth. You have no manners. And when the person that you insulted by calling him fat and he needs to lose weight and things like that, you tell them, great peace, brother, have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. This verse is really misused today. I've been hearing it used as such since I was a child. But I don't think this is what this verse means. So now that I gave the introduction, let's go ahead and go into point number two. Obedience is rewarded with abundant peace. I told you I love the Bible. There is something peaceful about reading the Bible. By the way, the closer you get to the Lord, the lost will see that you have peace. That's how can you tell? You say, how can you tell? When the lost are always asking you to come out to dinner with them or hang out with them because they want to discuss God with you, they see your peace and they want it. I can attest to that. The word peace in this passage has the thought of safety, happiness, well-being. When you obey the scripture, you have peace and happiness in your life. That's not true. Yes, it is. When you're listening to the counsel of the ungodly, it doesn't work out for you. Okay? I'm not going to go into that. Point number three, God's word is not a stumbling block to its obeyers. In this passage, the word offend has the thought of something that's a stumbling block, a ruin or cause to fall, an obstacle, a circumstance that causes difficulty or hesitation. Okay, enticement, like a false idol. And yes, when you're offended, you are mad, you're annoyed, someone insulted you. But the word of God doesn't do such a thing. It's not a stumbling block to us. It's to help us live a better life for God. I like what my friend Tom said yesterday. Nothing in the Bible should be a problem to us. Something like that should be an offense to us. And that's point number four. Nothing in the Bible is an offense to its lovers. Do you love the Bible? Then if the preacher is preaching about tithing or getting your hair cut or treating your wife right, what's your reaction? Are you mad at the preacher? Are you offended at the... Man, I'm not pointing anyone out. I'm just using examples that I've seen. But I had two friends. One wanted to get married, and he knows better. He wanted to get married to a woman that was married before. My other friend warned him. He said, hey, if that woman is still married to someone else, what I meant to say is if the woman is divorced from a man, right? Then he fell out of love or some nonsense like that. And you marry her, the Bible says you're committing adultery. She's committing adultery. Okay, and the guy got offended. The parents of that guy got offended also. I mean, the parent. I think the dad's a very spiritual man. I'm quite sure he said some stuff about that too. Okay, nevertheless, the gentleman still got married to that woman. Now, you know, based on the description of it, the guy got really mad when his friend who cared about him showed him from the scripture where he was in error. Okay, that's what the Bible says. There's a lot of things in the Bible we don't understand. That's a shocker. But once we read the whole conclusion of the matter in the scripture, we can honestly say that the ways of the Lord are righteous. So that's an example of that. So nothing in the Bible is an offense to its lovers. If you truly love the word of God, his command shouldn't be an offense to you. Let me read the notes. Those that love God's word won't be offended by it. The Bible rebukes sin. Those who hate God's word, the rebuke of God's word, are indeed offended. They always get offended about that. The Bible talks about dressing modestly. How do you treat your wife? Tithing, going to church, loving others. There's a lot of things, especially morality. Today, when you start talking about morality, you offend a lot of people. When you say one wife or one husband for life, when you say that the Bible says that a marriage is between a man and a woman, you are offending a lot of people. Why is that? Because they hate God. They hate the word of God. Okay? Look at 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. So doctrine teaches you, reproof rebukes your sin, and then correction, it shows you how to get right. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. Okay, now people say there's no such thing as a perfect person. Exactly, that's why we have the Bible, that the man of God may be perfect, to show us how to get back up and live righteously. Okay, it's going to be hard, but the Bible will show you. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works, an example of finding no offense in the word of God is accepting the an example of finding no offense in the word of God is accepting the rebuke or the commands of the Bible without offense. You know, one of my favorite preachers is Tom, and when he preached from the Bible, my reaction is, man, that's me. I need to get right. Okay, because I love the Bible. If Tom or my dad, my wife, my mom, my brother, if they show me from the scripture, Darian, this is where you're in error, my reaction should be, man, Lord, forgive me. Let me get that right. Let me go to the altar. Because I love the law. I love the Bible. If I hate the law, if I hate the Bible, then my reaction would be getting offended. Yeah, and that's the reaction to it. The church I go to now, Pastor Creed, a loving pastor, knowledgeable pastor, and he's preaching on justification, how we're justified in Christ, just as we never sinned. There's people out there right now that's mad at that. That will get offended that of that wonderful teachings. Forget them. All right. So anyway, let's see. We already went through 2 Timothy 3, 16-17. And as an example, find an offense and accept and rebuke commands without defense. Yeah. Let me just reread the notes so I don't miss anything. An example of finding no offense in the Word of God is accepting the rebuke or commands of the Bible without offense. Are you offended at the biblical commands, morals, tithing, treating your wife right, missing church? Man, you always get on about missing church. Are you offended by the truths of the Bible? There's a lot of examples with this. I feel like I'm barely scratching the surface. I remember when Tom and I both got in trouble with this. The people just walked up and got out of church. Tom was preaching about man buns. Or you just mentioned it in passing. That, you know, men should look like men. And he based it in the Bible. Based it out of the Bible. They got up and walked out. Me, I was preaching about looking like the world and stuff like that. And I was called divisive, aggressive, militant. I'm like, what is this? I'm just preaching the Bible. Okay, you don't have to be nasty. Like I like what Pastor Creed said, you don't have to be nasty or anything like that. But if it's in the Bible, preach it. Are you offended at the Bible, at the biblical command? Okay, I already read that. All right. And if you're mad at that, then this is evidence that you don't love the Bible. You don't love the author enough. It's a heart issue, okay? Let me turn up my volume. And another good example are the disciples in John chapter 6, verses 53-66. I don't have time to read it at the moment. I would love to, but I'll read it. Let's go to John chapter 6, verses 66, I mean. I forgot I was in the book of John. There's so many verses in this one chapter. I thought I was in the book of Matthew or something. So, John chapter 6. And this is basically about Jesus saying, he is the only one that possesses eternal life. And he gives eternal life to those that believe. Let me read really fast. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, that means truly, truly, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Talking about the resurrection. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so hath he eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Look, if you believe in Jesus Christ and ask him to save you, you will live eternally. He is the resurrection and the life. He's the bread of life. If you believe him, you will live forever. Well, these people had a problem with that. Verse 59. These things said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. So he's teaching this, right? You know, it's a church setting right here, guys. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? Now, this is not talking about the 12 disciples. Jesus had many disciples at one point in time, okay? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? You know, when you're preaching truth from the pulpit, do this offend you? Like Paul said, am I now your enemy because I tell you the truth? When Jesus knew, okay, doth this offend you? What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, what? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth and make alive. The flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Guys, the gospel message is eternal life. But there are some of you that believe not. Now, because they didn't believe that this Jesus here, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, right here, they didn't believe that he can give eternal life, they got offended. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and that should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. And then check this out. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Those people that are mad at Tom for preaching against man buns, they're missing out. I hope they're saved, but they're missing out. They walked out and they never came back to church again. I know Tom. Tom is very careful about the words he uses from the pulpit. He tries not to be mean or nasty about it. I'm not trying to kiss up, but he's one of the most considerate men I actually know. He's very considerate. Okay? So those people are missing out. They're not walking with him anymore, with God anymore. David was a man after God's heart, as stated in Acts 13:22. If you turn there, it'd say he's a man after God's own heart. David loved the word of God. Psalms 119 verse 11. It says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." If you read throughout the book of Psalms, David loved the word of God. He really did. And never got offended at God's commands or chastisements. You can see that David's acceptance of chastisements are found in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. You say, what's that about? When David took Uriah's wife, first of all, he killed Uriah, murdered him by putting him in battle and then having, you know, abandoning the man in battle, taking his wife. God was mad at that. The Bible says this thing displeased the Lord. Here comes Nathan and said, "Thou art the man." David said, "Oh my goodness, it really is me. I really did do this wrong." And then Nathan said, "Okay, since you admitted your sin, since David admitted his sin, God forgave him and put, you know, if you confess your sins, he's just and able to forgive you your sins." That's what God did. However, there was still sin that needs to be paid for. And sadly, that sin was brought upon the child. He died. The child that David and Bathsheba had in immorality, the child died. The innocent life died. That's the penalty for sin right there. Death. And it passed upon that poor innocent child who is in heaven today, because the age of accountability is definitely not when the child is an infant. Why is that? God's merciful. So that child is in heaven with God. Hopefully I explained that to you guys right. But the point of the matter is, if you go to 2 Samuel chapter 12, 33, look at David's reaction. When the child did die, was he mad at God? No, because he knows that ticket. The Bible says, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, his ass, donkey," things like that, or anything that he has. Okay, and he knows this. That's why David wasn't mad at God, and that's why David is a man after God's own heart. I am terrible when it comes to sword drills. Okay, so 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. Look at David's reaction here. This is after he was fasting for the child, which was a waste of time, because when God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord and cease to pray for you, but I will teach you the good..." This is the wrong passage. 12 Samuel, I'm in 1 Samuel. Okay, I knew it was something wrong. Okay, so 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. Okay, like I said, look at the reaction of David here. He did not get offended. He didn't get mad. Man, I need to get there quick. Okay, 12. And then, "But now he is dead. Wherefore shall I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go unto him, but he shall not return unto me." Go to him, that's referring to the babies in heaven. David is going to, which he already has, because David's in heaven. David saw his child. Okay? He wasn't upset. He wasn't offended. Why is that? Because he realized that the chastisement was fair. Okay? God's ways are always righteous. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 21, 13. You'll see David's reaction to number. You see, David got prideful. He was relying in his own strength in that God, and God punished him for it. Okay, by sending some type of pestilence in the land and wiping out some people. Now look at this. First Chronicles chapter 21, 13. And I'm just skimming over this because this is not really my main point. My point is, look at David's reaction to his punishment. First Chronicles 21, verse 13. "And David said unto Gad," this is his prophet, his seer, "I am in a great strait." He's in a tight spot here, guys. "Let me fall now unto the hand of the Lord. He's accepting the punishment. For very great are the mercies, but let me not fall into the hand of man. See his reaction there? When you have time, read Chronicles 21. 1 Chronicles 21. David did not get mad at the Lord. David sinned and he accepted the punishment for his sin. The chastisement. Point number four. His last point. Guys, this is the one I really need you guys to take home from this. Because this verse has been misrepresented over and over again. And there's no one to jump up other than my dear friend and my dad. That have said, hey, this is not a verse that you're supposed to be using to be abusing it, things like that. Only two people in my life is preaching it the way I'm preaching right here. Okay, point number four. This verse is not licensed to offend people willingly. This verse is. I think my son just fell. Psalms 119 verses 165. Okay, this verse is not a license to go offend people willingly. The command of the Bible is to be kind one to another. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You need to be kind. We as Christians are to be considerate and not disregard people's feelings, regard someone who is indeed hurt or offended by insults. So what I'm trying to say is, when someone is mean to you for no reason, okay, you shouldn't go up to that person, great peace have they, which love that law, nothing shall offend him, okay? You're sidestepping the issue, all right? Don't do that. If someone's insulting you, you know, speak up for yourself, like, hey, you know, you shouldn't be doing that, that's wrong. And if the person still wants to do it, stay away from them, let God handle it. Okay, but you shouldn't be, this is not what this verse, because you're giving an excuse to let people just say what they want. It's kind of like, you're giving people a license to pick on people. You're giving an excuse to insults. Okay, and we shouldn't do that. We must administer justice when justice is supposed to be implemented. So we as Christians are to be considerate and not disregard someone who is indeed offended by insults. Don't abuse Psalms 119 verse 65. That's not what it means. If you love the word of God, you shouldn't have any problem with the word of God, even if it's rebuking your sin. Okay, look at this, guys. God, whom our emotions came from, does get insulted, does get provoked to anger. To prevent angering God, we must obey him. That's simple. Israel provoked God to anger so many times. Now, what could have prevented that? If Israel just obeyed God. To prevent angering others and offending them with insults, just be kind, be considerate. Bridle your tongue. You know, and James talks about how the tongue is unruly. Who can tame it, right? Something like that. Well, you need to watch what you say. So the application to all of this is love the Bible, preach the Bible, and apply the Bible. If people get offended at the Bible, preach it anyway. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort all with longsuffering and doctrine. Number two, again, this verse doesn't give the license to go around saying mean things to people. And when the person you harmed complains about it, you go and quote, great peace have they which love that law. I had one person tell me this, man. It's almost laughable. Older gentleman, he said, if he gets offended, he chose to be offended. Well, if I was a bad person, I would have called him, well, sir, you are gigantic. You are one fat individual. You're a blimp. And when he gets mad at me for insulting him, I get to quote, great peace have they which love thy law. I don't know why he said that to me about if he gets offended, he chose to get offended. Makes no sense to me. I mean, does he not defend his wife when someone cuss his wife out? I mean, really? I hope this message was a blessing to you, and have a good day.